This is Biotechnica, and you're listening to India's first life science podcast, The Voice of Biotechnica.
Carbon dioxide is the exhaling breath of our civilization, literally. Changing that pattern requires a scope, a skill, a speed of change that is beyond what we have done in the past. Hello everyone, and welcome to another interesting episode of Biotechnica podcast. This is Deepa Sharma, and I today tell you about the fate of plants with increasing carbon dioxide levels. Atmospheric carbon dioxide levels have risen abruptly ever since the industrial age came forth, and that is warming the earth at an alarming rate. Atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide have been progressively escalating from nearly 315 ppm in 1959 to a current atmospheric average of roughly 385 ppm. Up-to-date predictions are for concentrations to continue to escalate to as much as 500 to 1000 ppm by the year 2100. While higher concentrations of carbon dioxide are tending to have an effect on global climate, intensifying carbon dioxide concentrations are also likely to have acute effects on the physiology, chemistry and growth of plants, independent of any impacts on climate. These effects develop from the fundamental importance of carbon dioxide to plant metabolism. As photosynthetic organisms, plants take up atmospheric carbon dioxide, thus chemically reducing the carbon. This represents not only an acquirement of stored chemical energy for the plant, but also presents the carbon skeletons for the organic molecules that build up a plant's structure. Photosynthesis is therefore chief of the nutritional metabolism of plants, and boosting the availability of carbon dioxide for photosynthesis can have intense effects on plant growth and many features of plant physiology. Conferring to a novel finding by NASA, rising concentrations of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere may improve water use efficiency in crops and substantially abate yield loss. Plants grown in chambers may not face the effects of increasing carbon dioxide in the similar way as plants growing in more natural locations do. For this reason, techniques of free air carbon dioxide enrichment, that is FACE, have been acquired which allow ecosystems, either natural or agriculture, to be fumigated with high concentrations of carbon dioxide in the field without the use of chambers. One of the most even effects of elevated atmospheric carbon dioxide on plants is a rise in the rate of photosynthetic carbon fixation by leaves. Carbon dioxide concentrations are also vital in regulating the opening of stomata, that is, pores through which gases are exchanged by plants with the external environment. In addition to allowing carbon dioxide to diffuse into leaves for photosynthesis, open stomata also offer a pathway for water to diffuse out of leaves. Plants therefore regulate the extent of stomatal opening, which is related to a measure known as stomatal conductance, as a settlement between the goals of upholding high rates of photosynthesis and minimal rates of water loss. Plants can maintain high photosynthetic rates with relatively low stomatal conductance with increase in carbon dioxide concentrations. Throughout a variety of phase experiments, growth under elevated carbon dioxide reduces stomatal conductance of water by an average of 22%. This would be projected to minimize overall plant water use, although the scale of the whole effect of carbon dioxide will depend on how it alters other determinants of plant water use, such as plant's morphology, size and leaf temperature. On the whole, phase experiments show reduction in whole plant water use of 5 to 20% under raised up carbon dioxide. This can in turn have concerns for the hydrological cycle of entire ecosystems, with soil moisture levels and runoff both increasing under elevated carbon dioxide. since photosynthesis and stomatal behavior are fundamental to plant carbon and water metabolism, growth of plants under upraised carbon dioxide leads to a huge array of secondary effects on plant physiology. The readiness of surplus photosynthate facilitates most plants to grow faster under elevated carbon dioxide. This improved growth is also manifested in the harvestable yield of crops, with rice, wheat and soybean all exhibiting escalation in yield of 12 to 14% under elevated carbon dioxide in phase experiments. Chemical composition of plant tissues also change because of elevated carbon dioxide. Due to leaf non-structural carbohydrates, those are starches and sugars, per unit leaf area increase on average by 30 to 40% under phase elevated carbon dioxide due to increased photosynthetic activity. Leaf nitrogen concentrations in plant tissues decrease predictively in phase under high carbon dioxide. This decrease in tissue nitrogen is probably due to numerous factors, namely rate of assimilation of nitrate into organic compounds gets reduced. Increased carbohydrate concentrations causes dilution of nitrogen. Minimized uptake of minerals from the soil as stomatal conductance is decreased and thus plants take up less water. Plant nitrogen status is directly tied to protein concentrations in plant tissues. Species at higher trophic levels are therefore likely to have crucially affected by changes in plant tissue nitrogen. Performance is characteristically reduced for insect herbivores, which feed on plants growing in elevated carbon dioxide. This can lead to intensified intake of plant tissues as herbivores make up for decreased food quality. Impacts on human nutrition are likely as well. Crop concentrations of nutritionally important minerals taking in magnesium, calcium and phosphorus may also be diminished under raised up carbon dioxide. Depending on other environmental factors, the effects of elevated carbon dioxide on plants can be varied. Along with elevated carbon dioxide making carbon more available, plants also necessitate other resources including minerals acquired from the soil. Elevated carbon dioxide does not promptly make these mineral elements more accessible and, as stated above, may even decline the uptake of a few elements. Therefore, under conditions of low mineral availability, the ability of plants to respond to elevated carbon dioxide with increased photosynthesis and growth may be limited. This effect has been best recorded for nitrogen. There is less enhancement of photosynthesis by elevated carbon dioxide under low soil nitrogen conditions in phase experiments. Crop yield in phase also seems to be boosted by elevated carbon dioxide to a lesser extent under low nitrogen than under high nitrogen. Across studies, there is a lower improvement of biomass production by raised carbon dioxide under low nutrient conditions. Crops grown with lesser amounts of nitrogen fertilization also indicate a greater decrease in protein concentrations under raised up carbon dioxide as compared to the crops grown with higher nitrogen fertilization. A further environmental factor that interacts with elevated carbon dioxide is atmospheric ozone, which is a gaseous toxin. There has been a worldwide increase in ground level ozone concentrations and is also expected to continue to increase due to multiplied emissions of pollutants which react to produce ozone. High atmospheric concentrations of ozone causes damage to leaves and also leads to decreased plant growth and photosynthesis. Internal tissues of leaves is the primary location of ozone injury to plants. Under elevated carbon dioxide, Decreased openness of stomata can therefore decrease the exposure of sensitive tissues to ozone. It has been found that high carbon dioxide considerably cuts down the negative effects of high ozone on photosynthesis, growth, and seed yield in both soybeans and rice. Throughout the experiments with all plant species, the enhancement of growth by elevated carbon dioxide is significantly greater under conditions of ozone stress than otherwise. This has presented the average effects of elevated carbon dioxide. However, important patterns of difference in response among plant species remains obscure. One of the most important determining factor of species differences in response to elevated carbon dioxide is photosynthetic type. C3 photosynthesis is the type of photosynthetic process utilized by most plant species, approximately 90%. Other species, on the other hand, use either of the two physiologically distinctive processes known as C4 and CAM photosynthesis. C4 plants comprise of most tropical and subtropical grasses and several important crops including sugarcane, sorghum, maize and the millets. Therefore, there has been substantially more research on the responses to raised carbon dioxide in C4 than in the CAM plants. A biochemical pump is used by C4 plants to concentrate carbon dioxide at the locations inside the leaf where the Rubisco enzyme umpires incorporation of carbon dioxide by the Kelvin-Benson photosynthetic cycle, which is also called a C3 cycle. In view of the fact that carbon dioxide concentrations are already high within the bundle sheath cells, rising atmospheric carbon dioxide concentrations above current levels has barely any direct effect on photosynthetic rates for C4 species. C4 species do respond to higher carbon dioxide by minimizing stomatal conductance. This might lead to some indirect boosting of photosynthesis by helping avoid water stress under drought conditions. In phase experiments, as seen in C4 plants, enhancement of photosynthesis by raised carbon dioxide is only about one-third of that experienced by C3 species. Furthermore, in these studies, C4 plants show little or no improvement in growth, that is, no improvement in dry matter production. From the very limited data available, it was also seen that there was no increase in C4 crop yield in phase studies. As a consequence, it emerges that C4 plants in general are relatively unresponsive to rise of atmospheric carbon dioxide above existing ambient levels. Contrasting to C4 species, another group of plants, legumes, which are members of the family Fabaceae, may be particularly efficient in responding to raised carbon dioxide with enhanced photosynthesis and growth. For majority of the plants, growth under raised carbon dioxide can modify the internal balance between carbon, that is obtained in extra quantities through boosted photosynthesis, and nitrogen, either natural or taken up in reduced amounts due to declined uptake of water. Contrastingly, most legume species involve themselves in close mutualistic relationships with bacteria that reside in nodules formed on the plant's roots. These bacteria are capable of fixing atmospheric nitrogen, chemically reducing it to a form that can be taken up and used by plants. Under conditions of raised up carbon dioxide, legumes may be able to fend off excess carbon to root nodules, where it can serve as a source of carbon and energy for the bacterial symbionts. Effectively, legumes may be able to substitute the excess carbon for nitrogen and thereby get the most benefits of raised up atmospheric carbon dioxide. A lot of studies in controlled environments have revealed that as compared to other plant species, legumes show pronounced boosting of photosynthesis and growth by elevated carbon dioxide. Under elevated carbon dioxide, reduction in tissue nitrogen concentrations are also smaller for legumes than for other C3 species. Further, it has been found by a number of experiments that a few plant species, when grown alone, respond positively to elevated carbon dioxide. However, when grown in mixed plant communities, these plants experience declined growth under elevated carbon dioxide. This consequence results likely because the direct positive effects of raised carbon dioxide are overshadowed by the negative effects due to stimulation of the growth of competitors. Some species may procure more of an advantage from the rising atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide and therefore lead to changes in the composition of the plant communities. In mixed species, experiments under high fertility conditions, C4 plants decrease as a proportion of the mass of plant communities under elevated carbon dioxide. Similarly, under low fertility conditions, legumes increase as a proportion of the biomass of plant communities under elevated carbon dioxide. Results of different studies show that elevated concentrations of atmospheric carbon dioxide have an effect on crops in two significant ways. They boost up crop yields by intensifying the rate of photosynthesis, which incites growth, and they also cut down the amount of water that is lost by the crops through transpiration. Plants transpire through tiny pores present on the leaves called as stomata. Stomata open and stockpile carbon dioxide molecules for the process of photosynthesis. Water vapor is released during this process. As the concentration of carbon dioxide increases, the pores don't open as wide. This results in fainter levels of transpiration by plants and thereby increase the water use efficiency. Thus, all organisms don't think of carbon dioxide as a poison. Plants and organisms that make shells, coral, think of it as a building block. Thank you all for listening. Keep tuning with Biotechnica Podcast to learn more about the latest updates of the scientific world.